Good boy. Good man. Listen, part of my job as a pastor is to encourage other people to fulfill their call on their life. Amen? And one of those is to raise up or to encourage other preachers. Listen, if you think that my voice is the only one that can be heard over this pulpit, we are in big trouble. Amen? And so tonight my brother Ray is going to come and he's going to share God's Word with us tonight. Ray, come on. Listen, I don't know what he's going to share because I frankly don't ask people what they're going to preach about. And if somebody says, well, what do you want me to preach about? I say, whatever God wants you to say. Amen. Because I want you to hear from what God has for us, not what I want you to say. Amen. And so you just take your liberty. We got until about this time tomorrow.
Okay.
And anyway, give us the good stuff, man.
Testing. There you go. Yeah, we are not here by coincidence. I know when you first saw me roll up with all my family and took over that one side, you're like, wow, who is that gang? But let me tell you what happened. The pastor from our old church, from the church we used to attend to, passed away, my brother-in-law. And so what happens there is the church scattered. You know, there's verses on that. But the church scattered. And so my wife calls and finds out if this is a Holy Ghost church here. You know, is it a Holy Ghost filled church? And so my wife ended up coming first, and I always send her out first. I send her out first before I come out. You know, I let her get the bumps and bruises. Then I see how bad it is, and then I'll come on back through. I'm not going to keep too much of your time today. I know you guys still full from that buffet, or what's it called, potluck. You know, like my brother over here was telling me that I like wandering around, but, you know, forgive me if I get lost in the papers, but I've studied all week. I told my wife I was going to preach on something. I heard, and this is what the enemy does. He wants to tell you different things. He wants to tell you that you're not going. You're not a preacher. You're not going to preach because you don't have the speaking of tongues. You don't have the gift of interpretations. You don't have the gift of the laying of hands and the healing and stuff. This is what the enemy wants us to believe. See, but when the Holy Spirit fell on me all week long as I was reading the Word, and then he says, this is how you're going to lay it down. Then the flesh got involved, and then it still turned back to the way the Lord wanted me to do it. You know, and my brother speaks over here. He told me, he says, so you're the pastor's new mouthpiece. No, I'm not the new one. There's been people here a long time ago. You know, I'm just new to the church. You know, he's the mouthpiece. And whoever wants to be the mouthpiece, that's what the pastor is preparing us to be. You know, I will not take much of your time. Like I said, I'm going to do a testimony. Can I do a testimony? Can I share my testimony with you? And I'm going to try to keep it fast. My wife and my kids have heard it. They're probably sitting back. They're going, oh God, not again. Don't use my name, Papa. Don't do that. Don't embarrass me. But thank God I brought a lot of pictures of my kids. They were growing up, the way their haircuts were cut, the shorts they used to wear, the t-shirts and everything like that. No, I didn't do that. But I'm glad. You know what? I praise God for my kids being here, my wife being here, me being here. You know, because without God's mercy, wow, getting up in the morning. So you guys know my name. No one back here trying to stay with the rest of everybody. And when the pastor asked me to minister tonight, I told him, this is what I told the pastor. I said, the pastor looked back, and because I sent him text messages before. I said, Pastor, I ain't trying to preach. I'm not trying to do anything, you know, because the enemy kept telling me, you're not a preacher. And I'm not a preacher. I might just go rambling on right now because, you know, Holy Spirit has just got a hold of me. He's had a hold of me all week. And I'll tell you what, I've been tearing up. I've been weeping. You know how good that feels when the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you and just pours His Spirit on you, and then you go to weeping. Remember the days when we got saved and we used to, the churches used to turn the lights down, and it used to be just lifting of the hands, and used to just pray and just weep, not worried about my brother or sister over here, not worried about the kids that are running around. Just, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. So when the pastor asked me, he says, see, he's sitting right over there on that nice little chair over there that might sit looking good in my game room, because I know he's not going to put it in his new church. But that might sit in my game room. I'm going to go ahead and speak that. But I'm not supposed to covet his stuff anyway, or any of my brother's stuff. So the pastor was sitting there, and I was sitting over here, and he, for some reason, well, let me first tell you the story. I tell my wife, I said, hey honey, what do you think if I... asked the pastor to take me under his wing, and and she looked at me like, you're going to be gone most of the time. She didn't tell me nothing. I read it all through her eyes, the way her hair was moving in the wind and everything. She looked at me, and this is what I grabbed. You're going to go over there and you're going to bother them. You're going to make the pastor mad. You're going to spend time over there. You ain't never going to be home. Next thing I know, you want to drive a Harley Davidson, and then you're going to start talking all those hick kicks. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I said, you know what, honey? See, I already read it. I already seen what she was saying. So I said, you know what? If it's God's will, then so be it. So the next week, pastor turns around and says, hey, brother, what do you think about preaching? I said, Pastor, I said, I'll give it a shot. And he went, he didn't want to hear that. That's not what you want to hear when someone asks you to go ahead and minister. So he waited a week. Pastor waited a week there. And he goes, you want to preach tonight? I said, Pastor, I already made plans, you know, and I'm not going to be back on time. So I prepared a little bit today, but I want to share a testimony. I want to share a little bit of testimony. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know how I grew up. I did sit on a bucket while milking a cow and the tail slapping me in the head. That wasn't me. I wasn't growing up like that. But you know what, Pastor? You know, We probably kicked the same hard rocks as we were growing up. So when he asked me to speak tonight, I got to studying, and it was so good. It was so good. Let me pray. If you can, stand with me and just pray with me. Because see, what happened here tonight is everybody's going to miss out. Everybody that did show up tonight missed out. They missed out on the blessing. They missed out of how it's supposed to be when you come on a Sunday night and praise and worship, and that we are in one accord. I'd rather have just a little in one accord than a whole gang, and they're not even with us tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father. Father, I ask that you remove anything that's in this heart that will hinder my presence in the throne room. Father, I ask that you would just minister through me. And remove me, remove the flesh from anything tonight that I may say. Let the Holy Spirit fall on your word, Father. Let it fall on whoever it is tonight, Lord. Somebody came for something, Father. Somebody came expecting something, Father. Father, somebody came to sing praises. Somebody came to worship your name. Somebody came to sing those praises, hallelujah. Somebody came to lift up their hands, hallelujah. Somebody came to dance in the street like David danced. Somebody came to worship. truth, Father. Somebody came to just to cry and to weep and just to thank you, Father. Somebody came, Father, to sit on this altar, to kneel at this altar, Lord, to ask you for something, Father. Somebody came for that, Father, and we ask that you grant it, Father. We ask in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen?
Amen.
All right. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. I pray there's going to be a lot of that going on tonight. Hallelujah. Just a few words. Let me. I'm going to have to stay with this script because I get to talking about myself, boy, and then I start doing this and popping collars, and it's not about me. So, just a few words of growing up. Okay, single mom. You know, we've all had single moms, single daddies. You guys might not have, but I had a single mom. I grew up with five brothers. Mom was never home. She was always, always working. Lived with stepdaddies. And those things about stepdaddies are true. Well, they were in my life. But I'm not going to keep talking about that. That's garbage. So that was true about the stepdaddies. Bless him, Father. Mom was never home. So when she was never home, but she was working all the time. She was learning all the time. Working nights all the time. When she was doing upholstery, she went to school to learn upholstery and stuff. I was out there. I wouldn't believe I was out there because I remember me being out there. I don't remember my brothers being out there picking up little tacks from upholstery, you know, because everything that we sweep and throw away, you know, Mama had to buy those things again. So we had to go out there and separate it from the dirt and the rock. And while she did, she retired out of a hospital. I continue. I ask for prayer for my mom too. So anytime you see me, I'm going to go down this weekend, next weekend, and go visit my mom. She's already. My brother says that she caught the COVID and she has asthma and, I mean, mom's not in good shape right now. So if you don't see me next week, just remember to pray for me. Pray for protection for my family and traveling mercy back and forth. I would really appreciate that. So mom was never home. I mean, and you know the bad thing about it? Mom was a twin. And so mom wasn't into the loving business. I mean, she loved her kids. You know, she'd do anything for, but there was no, you know, here we go. There was no, I love you, son, and stuff like that until we got older. And I had to tell her because I didn't know nothing about it until God has opened my eyes. And then my wife kept telling me all the time. Then I had to keep telling her or else I wouldn't get no sugar from her. So I had to say, I love you, baby. But you know, mom always had, mom was always gone. But this is the thing, they kept calling her a bad sister, you know, that she was an evil sister and stuff, and she believed it. Mom had these trolls lined up, you know, remember the trolls? And then she would pull on the, I mean, she probably had like, I don't know, there were different colors, different sizes, fat ones and different ones, you know, like the what are those things that are out in the front yard? There are different ones. They said before she'd go to work, she'd pull on these trolls' hairs and she would do a little chant like that, you know, and me and my brothers, we would grab those little things and throw them around, and my mom would get really mad when she set her trolls and set them on, and she would pull on their hair before she'd go to work, you know, and then if that wasn't enough, she would have this money spray, right? It was a big old can, and she would spray the house with this can, and I guess it was supposed to rain money, you know, but me and my brothers, we used it mostly in the bathroom, but I think the can of spray smelled worse than the bathroom. So we had that can of spray, and mom was always mad, where's my can of spray, and everything like that, you know. And then, let's not forget Buddha. She had this big old Buddha, Roy, and mama used to go over there and rub that thing and say a chant or two, and she'd go, hey, mijo, when you come up, you know, you go like this, mijo, and you get a little something like that, and you know, whatever. See, but we didn't know no better. I didn't know any better, you know, at that time. At that time, I didn't know any better. So yeah, mom had all kinds of little different lucky charms or something like, and stuff like that, you know. And, how do you do this with no things like that? I guess, okay, do it like that. So growing up was pretty tough. I'm not, being that the pastor's recording some of the things I had written down, I am not going to say the things that I have written down because the statute of limitations are in question, and that I don't want to incriminate myself. But I am not proud of it. I'm not proud of it. Some people, I can say this, and I am not proud of it. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy, because what I've done growing up, no, I pray that my kids have never did the things I've done. Never. And let's just leave it there. Let's just leave it there. Hallelujah. You know, I growing up, I remember going to a church. I remember going to a church, and I used to go with Grandma. But you know, this is the thing. Do we know when that first seed was planted? Do we know when that first seed was planted? Do we know who prayed for us? Do we know when they prayed for us? Brother, you got that picture? So you can tell, you can see Grandma. You see Grandma? You know who the good-looking fellow over there is, right? The one with the hat? That's Grandma. That's my other brother in the back acting like he knows how to read. But Grandma's house was back there. You see where there's no windows? That was Grandma's house. I remember that house really well. That was the first seed. That was the first seed. You know how I know? God told me that. The Holy Spirit said that was the first seed. Hallelujah. That's when it was planted. You know, Grandpa was a Catholic. Grandma was Pentecostal. Thank you, brother. Get that guy off of there with the no shirt on. Grandpa was Catholic. Grandma was Pentecostal. Grandpa didn't like that. Grandpa didn't have, he didn't like that one bit. Grandpa didn't work. Grandma worked, okay? But Grandpa didn't like it. He always accused her of going to, because, you know, in Pentecostal, there's a little more, there's joy. You know, Grandma used to come home, and she would be singing songs. Grandma used to come home, you know, happy and cooking. And Grandma came home, she was, you know, she probably had another pep. She had pep in her step. You know, those knees were probably buckling on the way over. But she was coming back just to walking right. You know, she had an upright. She had the step going on. Grandpa was always accusing her of fooling around and things like that. You know how the enemy works. You know, if you're not going to church, of course you're going to accuse somebody that's going to church, right? So Grandpa finally died. I don't want to say that. Grandpa died, and she did marry somebody from the church. It's just the way it is. She did marry somebody from the Pentecostal church. But Grandpa died. Okay? Don't talk bad about my grandma. Okay? Grandma was it. I remember her. It was so good. It was so good. You know, I remember going to church growing up. I remember going to church growing up. And most of it was for the wrong reasons. But I know when the seed was planted, it was time. God was telling me something. And I didn't know anything about it. He was nourishing it. He was getting me back in it. As a kid, I was going, maybe it wasn't for the wrong reason. But there's a big old blue bus come by. I wanted to ride that big blue bus, remember? I love that big old blue bus. That thing come, and that thing was set in front of your yard until you got out of bed and got on that bus. It didn't matter how you got in there. You know, it would sit there, or it would come back around across the street and then send somebody. Well, they're waiting for the other one across the street, and they'll send somebody out and start keep knocking on your door. You guys coming to church? You know, just to ride that bus, or to play softball, or I would sit across the street where I used to live. There was a First Assembly of God, and there was kids out there playing in the parking lot with these lights on, playing volleyball and stuff. And of course, you know, the Holy Spirit wanted me to go over there and invite myself and introduce myself. And it was the Royal Rangers things like that, you know. The Holy Spirit drew me closer into church, you know. But it just didn't last long enough. It's like that parable when the seed hits the ground, you know. The vultures or the birds come and devour it, you know. And that's what it felt like, you know, as I was growing up. So the blue bus, baseball games, all those. And, you know, there was things that I did in church that I probably shouldn't have done. I knew I shouldn't have done. But, you know, when you're a poor kid on the street, you know, none of that stuff really matters, you know. I grew up in the wrong gangs. I mean, the wrong kids, you know. I had some kids, you know, that my first fight was in the sixth grade, man, and I got this little guy. Well, I'm gonna say a little guy. He was a little guy, but you know, he kept picking on me, man. He kept, you know, of course I didn't dress right and stuff, you know. And he kept picking on me, so he said, hey, "We're gonna meet you after school" and stuff like that. So I met him after school, you know, because the homies, you know, these were actually homies. They, hey, man, you know, you're gonna meet that dude, or we're gonna beat you up. Or I said, all right. So I did win. So when I got home, I didn't know I had blood all over my pants. So mom beat me on that one too. So, and then after school, the same homies were going home. I had detention, and those guys that were on from the other side of the tracks, they were waiting for me. Like, you know how sharks go around, they go around the boat? That's what they did. They went around that side. I went around this side. I said, oh, I can't take them three big dudes. Then they went over there. I went over there. And by the time I got over here, that gate was locked. I said, I have to go through it. You know, I never hang with them homies again. I never did. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy right there. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I've done things that I'm not happy of. I'm not going to brag about these things. I'm not. But you know, in Lamentations 3:22-23, as you know, it says, "Through the Lord's mercy we are not consumed, because His compassion fails not, that they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Thank You for Your mercy. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that, see, when the Bible says that through the Lord's mercies, aren't you glad that knowing from our left and our right, like remember in Jonah, it says that he goes, Lord, there's people there that don't know the left from the right. He was talking about the children there, you know. He was talking about the children that they don't know the left from the right. Ain't that great that how we can, that God ain't put a certain amount of mercies on us? Like, hey, you know, you're left from your right. You only get 20 more or else you're done, dude. I'm done with you. I got other people to tend to. Ain't you glad that His mercy's new every morning? I said, ain't you glad it's new every morning? Hallelujah. See, those are some things that we got to get up and say, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got a bad knee, Lord, but I'm going to say hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. This is supposed to be a Baptist church. I'm supposed to get up and a Pentecostal church. And hallelujah. Come on. These are the things that we're supposed to jump up for joy. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So glad that He's got mercy every morning. Man. Ain't you glad we could call upon the name of the Lord? Huh? You know, when things get tough, when things ain't even tough, you know? Ain't you glad we can call Him for help? I've done it many times in jail. I've made many promises in jail. How many have? That's right. That's okay. Put your hand up. That's right. I have. We've made promises to God. You know, there was many times that I've been, as I was growing up, I was in band. I was in high school band for from the 6th grade to the 10th grade, 4 years, and never knew how to read a note. Never knew how to read a note. I played in the marching band on the football field, in parades and competitions and things like that, and never knew how to read a note. Never. It was by sound. It was just, I picked it up by sound. Until one time, until that day, I'll never forget it, it was the instructor caught on, you know. He's like, who's that one banging on that stuff like that? So I knew he, you know, maybe the guys ratted me off. I don't know. I don't care. And he says, okay, we're going to play the bells and we're going to play, give him that sheet of music. And so I was like, all right. And then he gave another shot. And then so I closed my eyes and I should not have closed the eyes on the third time because I missed it. He said, okay, Ray, your turn. And bing, 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 and gone. He tried to put me back in beginning band. I wouldn't have it. I would not have it. But ain't it glad? Ain't we glad, brothers and sisters, that we can call on protection? Ain't we glad that we can call on strength? Ain't you glad that we can praise Him, that we can get up in the morning and just praise Him? Ain't you glad, church, that we can just call on Him when we need something, when we need a healing, we need something financially? Church, I said, ain't we glad that we can just call on Him when we need a tire fix, or we need a food in our fridge, or our kid can't get up and go to school, that they would give us strength? Ain't you glad that we can just pray for our kids and just so many things to pray for, church. Well, I am glad. You might not show it, but I am glad. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. So afterwards, so as I was growing up, my wife and I, oh, my wife had our firstborn, which was Cassie. And we got married after she was born. But you know, we were saved. You know how it feels. Do you remember when you got saved for the first time? Do you remember what it felt like? Do you remember that joy, that feeling of just ah? You know, do you remember when you lifted up your hands or you went to the altar like we used to do, and we used to get on our hands and knees and we used to just cry out to the Lord, and we used to say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. I thank you for the health of my kids, Father. I thank you, Father, for traveling mercy just to get here to hear your word. Hallelujah, Father. Remember the time when you used to just come on Sunday nights, or when the church used to have Sunday night service, and we used to just lift our hands up and just not even worry about nothing. Just praise His holy name. Woo! I bet you if you close your eyes right now, you can feel that. Because I can feel the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You remember that? Anybody remember that? Do you remember being delivered from drugs? Do anybody remember being delivered from alcohol? Does anybody remember being delivered of something out of the flesh? It doesn't have to be drugs. It doesn't have to be alcohol. Whatever you had that was troubling your walk with God, don't you remember that feeling when He took that from you? He took that burden from you. Don't you remember when you used to leave it out here on the altar and you walked away from it and you just left it there and went home or went wherever you went and you said, I'm leaving that there. I'm not bringing it back. I'm not picking that thing up no more. I'm just going to leave that right there. I'm gone, and that's going to stay there with Jesus, and I'm not going to have no more of that. Do you remember that, church? You have no idea how that went? Huh? I must be the only one that remember that, because I get excited when I remember that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys don't mind if I get undressed here, do you? Woo! Hallelujah. Where's the pastor hang up his stuff at? That's where I want to go. I'm going to put it right here where his wallet is so I can pick it all up at the same time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys remember that? Anybody remember that? Yeah. Ain't that a good feeling? Yeah. Whew. God, I love it. I love that. I love that. I remember the first time I was saved. I remember the first time I gave my life to the Lord. I remember when Cassie was born, and there was no other child with us. But I remember going to work, and I was so full of joy. I was so happy to be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, I used to work at a place called Grumman. I'm not going to put a plug in there, but we built mailboxes or mail trucks and stuff like that, and. I used to write, man, praise God on things like that. Praise God, hallelujah, yeah, yeah, boom, boom, boom. And then on sheets of aluminum, because the trucks were built in sheets of aluminum, just raw aluminum. And the boss comes up, who's writing all this stuff? I said, that's me, brother. He says, man, come here. He says, that stuff don't come off, man. You know, we got to paint all that stuff. It don't come off, man. I said, well, praise God. He says, you're going to be praising God outside that church, outside that door. You keep painting on stuff. I said, all right, bro. You ain't got to tell me twice. But you know what happened? Let me tell you what happened. I did not read the book, the good book. I did not read. I did not pray. The way I was supposed to. I was still running on those fumes. I was still running on that tank full that had me going. I was still running on whatever it had me going. The Holy Spirit just had me going. Woo! I was like, oh God, that felt good. It feels good not to smoke. It feels good not to drink. Oh, hallelujah. It feels good to have a dollar in my pocket. Hallelujah, baby. Oh, I love you, baby. And everything like that. Oh yeah, come home early and whatever the case was. That felt good. What did good is when I backslide. That did not feel good. The vomit that I returned to, that did not feel good. Not once. Twice. And every time was because I was not in that word. Because I did not know any better. Folks, with church, I'm going to say me. I'm going to, because this is a testimony. This is not preaching. When a brother or sister finally comes up here, we need to talk to him before he gets out that door. Before that guy, that woman gets out that door, and let him know that it's going to be tough. You know, unless he reads the word, unless he prays, it's going to be tough out there. You know? It's not the way it is the first time. The first time he might not even feel it the way I felt it. He might not feel it the way you felt it or she felt it. They're not going to feel it like that because we're not getting out there, church. I'm not getting out there, getting up and praying for that brother as he comes up here. I'm not getting over here praying and putting my hands on. I'm not at home praying in the closet or I'm not reading the word the way I'm supposed to be reading it because if I'm going to pray for this person right here, church, I gotta be full. I gotta be ready. We got to be ready, church. When that pastor asks for someone to come up here and speak, we got to be ready. I am not the new mouthpiece here. I want to be a servant to the pastor. I want to be a servant to God. This is what the vessel is. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
All right. All right. Hallelujah. Church, we got to be ready. We got to be ready. So it didn't taste good. That second time, and you know, church, it took longer. It took longer to get back to where I needed to be with God. It took longer. It took more drinks. It took more drugs. It took more cigarettes that my wife was pulling out of her pocket because she knew my needs. She knew that I needed that. It took longer, church. It takes longer. I remember when I remember there was a time, the first time I got saved. I'm gonna just backtrack a little bit. That was the first time I got saved. The very first time I got saved, and this was one of the part where I was still full. So me and this guy. I don't want to call his name. His name is Robert. And so I'm driving this 69 Chevy truck, a long bed. I'm driving down. We're driving down the road, you know. We're out there poaching. Years and years ago, you know. We were out there poaching ducks and stuff like that. And we shouldn't have been. I confess we shouldn't have been. So we're out there driving down And I'm sitting here driving the driver's seat, man. We're having a good time. We're laughing, telling jokes, and just praising. It felt like we were just praising God and just laughing, right? And here comes this tire. And we looked at each other and we started just busting up like, ah! And it was going down the road, right? And we were just laughing. And that thing took off way over there, right? And then my truck goes, jeez. I pulled the stop over. So we're like, oh man, it was shaking. We pulled over, right? After we pulled over, we looked at each other and we laughed again. Because you know what? The laughing part was we were saved, man. We didn't end up in a ditch. There was nobody out there, but you know, you know how you can just laugh at the devil because God has put his hedge of protection around you that you can walk around and you know, he's got this and he's like this and he's like, oh, get out of the way. Come on. Get out of the way. You know, ain't that the way it's supposed to be? That is so neat how God just did that. We laughed and laughed and we laughed at the other half a mile to go to retrieve that darn tire and we laughed the other half mile bringing it back. You know, when you got a tire that ain't well balanced or anything, that tire wants to go a certain way, you know. You're sitting there rolling it this way, and we spent most of the time trying to roll it straight. It wore us out. Ain't that the way it is sometimes? Huh? Ain't that the way it is? Huh? But sometimes our tire tends to go this way. Huh? Our tire tends to go this way. And then God has to go like this. No. Straighten it up. And then our tires start to go this way. We try to turn that tire around, do it our way, and then it'll go this way. And God will tell you, no, you can't go that way. You got to go this way. Huh? Sometimes he's got to let the air out of the tire so it's not so hard and that thing is not so pointed on one side. But he lets the air out. He lets us know that, hey, I am here. You need to come to me. You want to go straight. You want to walk that narrow path. This is the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. God, you to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 So the second time, the third time. You know, they say the third time's a charm. There ain't no charms in this, man. This time, it was about the plea. The first time, it was because I wanted to try it. I had people praying for me. I had pastors handing us lamps and chairs and said, here, take this home. And they're like, what am I going to do with that? Just take it home. And we take it home. Come to find out, we had a lamp and we had a chair. We had nothing matched that they gave us. But they were praying on it. They prayed for it. And as we put it in our house, every time we sat on it, you know, we would feel that anointing. We know that God was there. And every time we turned that lamp on, that light was God's light. That we turned it on, it would shine, and God would shine through us. Every time we did something, it was because of God's presence. And our uncle and the other pastors, my brother-in-law and my wife's uncle knew it. Because every time they handed us something, they were smiling all the time. I didn't know what the smile was all about, but they handed it to us with a big old grin, and they're like, go ahead, take that home. None of the stuff was any good, but we took it home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. So the third time. Hallelujah. The third time I ended up getting to, I got my back hurt. I threw out my back. Oh, man, I had surgeries. I had three surgeries. Full hardware. Man, I was taking pain meds. I was drinking. I go to the store, pick up beer, drunk, on meds. And conviction fell on me, you know. I used to go to church before the conviction came on me. I used to go to church because my daughter used to go to church, and I was angry. I was mad. I was always like this. And I'd take my daughter to church, and I probably ruined a lot of it. But I used to take her to church, and I was drunk, and I ended up sleeping in the parking lot, you know, or I would go to church and I would sit in the pew drunk and tell her, you know, just mumbling stuff and embarrassing my wife. But my wife, man, she didn't care. She knew what God was going to do. She knew God was going to grab a hold of me, and God was going to straighten me out. She knew that God was going to put life in me. She knew God was going to put the Holy Spirit on me. She knew God was going to deliver me from drugs. She knew God was going to take the cigarettes away. She knew God was going to take everything away from me. She knew God was going to put me on that straight and narrow. She knew that God was going to help me raise my kids right. She knew God was going to help me pay my bills. She knew God was going to put me on that path where I know how to add and subtract. And that drugs and alcohol were no more a problem in my life. She knew that was going to happen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She knew that. God knew that. God knew that. Forgive me if I didn't come over here prepared with one of the stories in the Bible, but this is the story of my life and how God He's changed my life. And not only has He changed my life, I'm sure He's changed one of your lives. And I know that right now, just with what we have here tonight, everybody else is missing out. Everybody's out missing a blessing. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the third time came around. And I remember my two sons back there, Christian and Angel. Everybody turn around and look at them pretty old boys right there. I'm going to put them on the spotlight. I remember they were about that tall, probably as tall as, they were about this tall. I was sitting in the front porch, and I usually do. How much time do I got here, Pastor? I better hurry this one up. I was sitting in the front porch, and I was drinking, and the neighborhood always knew I was drinking. They always knew I was drunk. And my sons always used to go get me a beer and stuff like that. And it was, I could tell that mom wasn't liking that a lot. And so it got dark. And this is sitting there. And as I was driving home with it, the extra beers or cigarettes, whatever the case was, I knew that I could not go to jail. I knew if I went to jail, if I've hurt somebody, I knew that I was going to be away from my kids. I knew that I was not going to be able to see them. I knew that they were going to regret everything I've done. I knew that they were going to disown me because I wasn't there for them. I knew that my family was going to fall apart. I knew that nothing was going to last there. I knew that my wife wasn't going to call me no more. I knew that my kids were not going to call me no more. When my wife grabbed my kids and says, "Come on. Come on. Let's go. Let's leave Papa alone." And when Angel turned around, looked at me, said, and looked up at my, at Mama and said, "What about Papa?" Just that look, man. I could be missing that. You know, what about Papa? What about Papa? Papa knows all he had to do was just cry out. That's what I did. I did it again, church. I did it again. I went ahead and I lifted up my arms. And I sat there in that chair after I just lifted up my arms. And I sat there and I just said, "Lord, I can't do this no more, Lord. I cannot go to jail, Lord. I ask for forgiveness right now, Father, that you will remove this stuff from me. Lord, I can't do this. I cannot be without my family. I cannot be without my wife. I cannot be without my kids, Lord. I gotta have change in my life, Father. I've gotta have it now, Father." As I lifted up my hands and I cried and I wept and I just asked God for forgiveness and I asked God that He would just show me deliverance, that He would give me deliverance. I knew it. I knew it right then and there. I was delivered from God. I knew right then and there I was delivered from drugs. I knew right then and there I was delivered from alcohol. I knew right then and there I was delivered from cigarettes. I knew right then and there that I would not ever drive that truck drunk. I knew right then and there that I would not kill a child while I was drinking. I knew right then and there that I would not hit my wife again. I knew right there that I would not abuse anybody in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. But church, that doesn't come without faith. That doesn't come without the cross. This is not here just to be an emblem. This is not a logo. This is not a logo. This is a reminder of what He's done. This is what we need faith in right here. I brought my wife a cross and it said faith on it. But you know what? It's faith on the cross. It's not faith that Santa's going to bring me something and not eat all my cookies or drink all my milk. It's not faith that my car is not going to run out of gas. It's faith in the cross. It's faith that God has delivered me from all this stuff because of the faith that Jesus has rose from the dead and that cross is there because Jesus was on that cross. And He rose from the dead. He could have got off. He could have like, nah, you ain't putting those in my arms. Nope. He didn't have to drink from that cup, church. He didn't have to do the things He did. We got to have faith, and that's where it is. That's why that's there. We got to have faith that when we come to the altar and we lay our burdens down, that they will be answered. That when we leave those burdens here, that He will answer them. But we got to have faith. We just can't just say, "Hey, just take it." Faith. Everything we receive from God is made possible by the cross. We got to keep preaching that. We got to keep understanding that. We got to keep telling those ones that keep coming up here. It's because of the cross. It's because he bled on the cross. It's because He took those nails and He could have jumped off that thing. He never even had to show up. He never had to show up. If our faith is somewhere else, church, we tie the hands of our Lord. We tie His hands. I said, church, if our faith is somewhere else, we tie the hands of the Lord. He works entirely through the cross, church. He doesn't work through fasting, church. He don't work through good works, church. He don't work through the church. He don't work through the money, church. He don't work through education, church. He works through the cross, church. The Bible says His yoke is easy, His burden is light. You know, church, for a victorious living Christian, Our focus is to be on Jesus Christ. For a victorious living, for a victorious living Christian, the focus should always be on Christ. The object of our faith is the cross, church. Our power source is the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you one more time. The focus is on Jesus Christ, church. The object of faith is the cross. And the power source is the Holy Spirit. The result is victory. The result is victory. I said, church, the result is victory. Only I can say victory? No, when I say victory, you know what? When I come through that door right there, I come singing praises. I think the Bible says in 47:6, it says, Psalms 47:6, I think David was saying, sing praises. Sing praises to our Lord. Sing praises. He actually says, sing praises. Hallelujah. When I sit up here at church and I hear you guys sing, oh, so beautiful. That's when it comes in. That's when I feel that Holy Spirit. But when I look out here at church and it feels like it's just time consuming, God, we got to be in one accord, church. We got to be in one accord. Even if your neighbor's not, if your neighbor's like watching his watch all the time, lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Get up and say amen. Get up and praise the Lord. Don't be afraid to walk into these aisles. Don't be afraid to get up and get on this altar. Don't be afraid to tell your brother hallelujah. Don't be afraid of anything like that. That's what we come here for. That's what this Baptist church is about. I mean, this Pentecostal, forgive me. Forgive me. But it's not funny, church. We're supposed to be Pentecostal. We're supposed to be full of joy. God's light is supposed to shine through us. We're supposed to be running through these altars. We're supposed to be just saying hallelujah. Praise His holy name. We're supposed to clap when we hear something about what Jesus has done in our life. When that person gets up and he testifies, praise God, that person testifies. Woo, hallelujah, I just received the church. I just received a check. Now I can pay my light bill. Woo, praise God, hallelujah. I just paid my tithes. Hallelujah. And if there's not much tithes to give, give something, church. That's another one for another day. A defeated Christian is when the focus is on works. Okay, church? A defeated Christian is when the object of faith is on performance. Church, if our power source is on self, we won't make it. We won't make it. The result of that is failure. Church, I want to say I need to. I want to say we pray. We need to pray. We need, church, I need the right motivation. Selfish motivation will not be answered by God. In Matthew 6:5-6, it says, pray in secret and that our Heavenly Fathers will hear in private and reward us openly. Don't you like that? Don't you like that when God rewards us openly? Huh? Yeah. I just loaned her $10. She's like, well, she'd have gas to get to church and back. Huh? That's your reward. That's your reward right there. Okay. Good for you. That's all you get. Church, we need to pray with the Spirit of forgiveness. These are what we need to do. This is what I need to do. I need to remember these things. That's why I wrote them down. And just in case you don't remember, then I'll share it with you. In Mark 11:25, it says, church, we need to pray with the spirit of forgiveness towards others. Church, it says the spirit of bitterness and anger, revenge, and or hatred towards other will prevent our hearts from even praying in total submission to God. That's why I always try to start with repentance. Search my heart, Father. Search it. Dig deep in there and remove that stuff. You know, the Bible says, remember when Simon was trying to buy the Holy Spirit? He was saying, well, you know, I want some of that. He was willing to pay for it. But they said, I think it was Peter and John. They said it was in your heart, you know. you got evil in your heart. I'm just breaking. I'm just paraphrasing. It's because of the evil, what do you call it? But it's because whatever he had in his heart, the evilness, the wickedness in his heart, it prevent him from grabbing the Holy, from having the Holy Spirit. But it was when the laying of the hands is when everything started happening. You know, he was there when he was seeing them pray. It was the laying of the hands. When we lay hands on our brothers and sisters out here, I want somebody to lay their hands on me that ain't got no evil wickedness in their heart. I want people to pray for me when they get here that they've already prayed before they got here. I want somebody to pray for me when they're in their car and they were listening to some good music. I want somebody to pray for me while they're sitting here listening to the church, listening to the band here, or just sitting here praising and worshiping. Because, church, this is where we come to worship. This is where we come to praise. We come to worship the Lord here. This is what we're here for. Hallelujah. Fellowship and worship together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Donald. I got one there. I hear it from Donald all the time. We're supposed to pray with thanksgiving, and there's always something to be thankful for. Always something to be thankful. Don't get me started. It's already 7:30. I was supposed to be out of here early. Oh, man. I'm going to try to end this really fast. We're supposed to pray with thanksgiving. It's always something to be thankful. Pray with persistence. Remember in Luke 18:25 where the judge, the ungodly judge, didn't wasn't afraid of God. He wasn't even afraid of man. But the widow was seeking justice, and she kept going back and forth. And what the Bible said here, I'm going to just break it down real fast. It says, but ye, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Continually coming, she wearies me. Huh? It's the persistence that we have to keep doing. We have to keep praying, church. Got to keep praying. Don't worry about what time it is. Don't worry about what's on your... Just set your timer down on your crock pot at home a little slower. You know, come on, church. We got to get back to that Pentecostal. But we got to do it knowing that we have faith in Jesus. That the faith comes through the cross. That church is not going to stand on nothing else but on the Word of God. That church is not going to stand on the wrong foundation. That church is not going to stand without God. All that money, if we don't continue to praise God and worship and have faith that Jesus died on that cross for our sins, then that money's no good. Might as well even stop the project. We have to believe, church. We have to have that foundation, that rock to stand on. That's what this church needs to stand on. Church, doors are closing. Sunday nights, the first thing that's happened is the Sunday nights are gone. The Wednesday nights are gone. The altars are taken out. There's no more prayer call. There's no more prayers. There's no more altar calls. They take the altars out, say, hey, well, we don't need an altar call. They're not praying for the sick no more. But they'll take your money. Come on, church. I'm not going to keep going here. We've already been a long time. I've taken enough of your time. Can I just go one more page, church? Can I go one more? I write big. Don't worry about it. I write big. I talk a lot and write big. Church, we need to get back to that altar if we can. We need to be back at the altar. You know, we got to put our faith back on the cross. We got to keep it there, church. We need to bring God. We got to bring glory to God because He is worthy. I said, church, we got to bring glory to God because He's worthy. I said, church, we got to bring glory back to God because He is worthy. Hallelujah, you are worthy. Hallelujah. This is the part where you stand up and you say, woo, glory to Jesus. Yes, Father, you are worthy of all the praises. You are worthy of my prayers. You are worthy of everything that happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are worthy. It's okay, church, to stand up and do that. It's okay, church, to give him the praise and say amen or oh. Or is it the other way around? Oh no, or oh, or whatever. But amen is better. Hallelujah. We gotta pray, church. We gotta pray. Not only believe and have faith in God and the Son of Man. We got to believe. We got to pray. We got to pray. And no matter, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it, whatever you do, all to the glory of God. Again, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This includes praying according to His will. First, we must pray for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. See, that's a promise. It will be given. If we ask and believe that He's going to give it to us. I believe in the healing. I believe my back's going to be healed. I believe He's going to stretch that back and He's going to heal everything. He's going to put everything back the way it belongs. I believe that if He can restore a man's heart, hand, and you know, come on. The Bible says, the Bible's not going to lie to us. The Bible says that He would have told us so.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like the pastor was talking about that man that was sitting there seeking alms and stuff like that. And when the apostle said, no, we ain't got none of that. We ain't money. We have not. But as soon as they told him, stand up and rise. And he didn't just get up and he ran. Into the temple, because he's not allowed in the temple. When you're all busted up and all jacked up, they didn't want you in the temple. He ran into the temple and says, hey, that's not me out there no more. Hallelujah. That's not me all busted up. That's not me over there asking for nickels and dimes to drink. That's not me over there asking for cigarettes over there. That's not me laying on the ground drunk and all broken. And then when I wake up in the morning, my wife's going to be all mad. That's not me no more that I have to find gas in the morning. Because God has already done all that. He said, raise up. Walk. He said, get up. Get up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Jesus. When there's nothing else to say, say Jesus. But let him ask in faith. James 1:6 says, let him ask in faith. No doubting. No doubting. No doubting. Can't have that. Matthew 5:41, church. We're supposed to pray for our enemies. These are God's wills. We're supposed to pray for missionaries. In Luke 10:2, it says that we're supposed to pray to God to send missionaries. In Matthew 26:41, we're supposed to pray to God that we don't enter into temptation. We're supposed to pray for ministers of the word. In Colossians 4:3 and 1 Timothy 2:1-3, it says we're supposed to pray for our government authorities, for relief and affliction. In James 5:13, and for the healing of our fellow believers. We've seen that today, church. We've seen that, and we're supposed to pray with persistence. Church, we are to pray. We are to have faith. We are supposed to stand up and give God the praise that He deserves, because we are not worthy of it. We are not worthy of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are to rely on the Spirit of God in prayer. But we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Holy Spirit will intercede. Let us stand. Let us stand. If you're able to stand, stand with me. Let's pray. I kept you long enough. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this night, for me to share Your word, Lord. And if I misinterpret it in any way, I ask for forgiveness right now, Father. I thank you for the church that you have sent here tonight, Lord, to go back and to share with their brothers and sisters that they have missed out on your blessing, Father. That they have missed out on the word, Lord. That they have missed out of how you can just change a man's life. How you can change a woman's life, Lord. Just by just having faith, Lord. They missed out of how you can just call on your name and you have deliverance ready for them, Lord. You can just say right now that it's done. It's done. Leave it here at the altar, Lord. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Father, as we go our separate ways, Lord, I ask for traveling mercy, Lord. I ask for prayer for the pastor and his wife, Lord. Continue with a hedge of protection around him and his family, Lord. Put a hedge of protection around me, my family, Lord. Put a protection, a hedge of protection for those that are here today. Traveling mercy for those that were here to receive the word. For those that were here to receive deliverance. For those that are here to receive some kind of joy. Somebody that came to just to receive something, Lord. Praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for all that you're going to do right now. I thank you, Father, for your word today. Father, all praise and all glory. In Jesus' name, go to you and the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Be careful, brothers and sisters. Thank you. Praise God.